Before we commence a sermon, let's pray again. Lord, we come to ask your blessing once again on the preaching of your word, the preaching and hearing of your word. We thank you for the message you've given us in your word. May we hear it loud and clear this morning. Each one of us, may we be determined to apply it in our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this is now the fourth sermon in a series which I've been going through our church at Southern Districts. The series is called Godliness, and in the previous three sermons we've looked at what is godliness, the benefits of godliness, and the necessity of godliness. I'm not going to recap all that we've done in these past sermons, apart from reminding you of the description of godliness that we've established in our series. And I plan to do that every time we take up this series, to ensure we understand the basic foundation on which we're building. So what does the Bible refer to when it speaks of godliness or being godly? Excuse me. We found the explanation provided by Jerry Bridges in his book, The Practice of Godliness. We found it extremely helpful when he says that godliness consists of two distinct aspects. He says godliness is, or consists of, God-centeredness, which is devotion to God. And it consists of God-likeness, which is to display godly character or Christian character. So those two aspects. And we said that it's helpful to remember the relationship between these two aspects, that God-centeredness must come first and God-likeness must flow out of it. So in other words, devotion to God must be established first in terms of revering God, in terms of loving him, worshiping him, in terms of adoring him, fearing him, desiring him, obeying him. All these things must come first, and then godly character will follow. So as a result of a right devotion to God, a Christian will display godly characteristics such as love and grace and faithfulness and holiness and so on. And we also used Jerry Bridges' simple definition of godliness, which says, godliness is devotion to God, which results in a life that is pleasing to him. So godliness is devotion to God, which results in a life that is pleasing to him. Well, with these things in mind, let's move on to our fourth sermon in the series this morning. And this sermon covers somewhat of a negative issue related to godliness. At least it begins that way. Hopefully it won't end that way. Negative issues do need to be covered in our teaching and preaching. We do need to warn one another about such things as the dangers of temptation, the impact of sin, the perils we face of judgment and condemnation if we don't embrace God's words and the gospel. These are necessary things that we need to take up in our preaching and teaching. And we'll do so in this sermon, but I trust that it finishes, you'll find that it finishes on a positive and encouraging note. Well, the topic we'll be considering this morning is a pretense to godliness. Pretense to godliness. That's the title of the sermon this morning. And pretense refers to an attempt to make something, that is not the case appear true. It refers to, it's an attempt to make something that is not the case appear true. It's to make believe. It's to put on an act. It's to fake something. The Cambridge English Dictionary defines it as a way of behaving that is intended to deceive people. So we're going to be looking at the idea of people appearing to be godly when that is in fact not the case. People make believe that they're godly. They put on an act to appear to be godly. They behave in a way that deceives others, that even deceives themselves into believing that they're godly when they're not. And that's an eternally dangerous thing to do. But what does God's word say about pretense to godliness? We're going to answer that question under three headings this morning. What does God's word tell us about pretense to godliness? Let me say at this point that the third reason, or the third heading, is a lot shorter than the first two, so don't panic after the first two headings thinking that sermon's going to go for an hour and a half. No, that won't be the case. But the first two headings are lengthy. So let's begin. What does God's word tell us about pretense to godliness? Well, pretense to godliness is hypocrisy. That's our first heading. Pretense to godliness is hypocrisy. And that may seem like an obvious statement. It sounds like a tautology, saying the same thing twice. But let me explain what I mean here. Hypocrisy can refer to many areas in life, in any aspect in life in general. A person who, for example, a person who demands others recycle their rubbish and use green energy while they themselves are wasteful and careless with it is a hypocrite. A person who urges others to exercise and eat well, but he himself lives an unhealthy lifestyle, is a hypocrite. Someone who tells us that we must work hard while he himself is lazy is a hypocrite. These are examples of hypocrisy in general life, but our focus here is specifically hypocrisy in relation to godliness, which I've termed pretense to godliness. And in relation to this, we need to note firstly that God hates hypocrisy. He hates hypocrisy. He hates the outward display of what is not real, what is not genuinely expressed from the heart, from the depth of our being. He hates it. Now, these are strong words, they're strong assertions, but these aren't merely my own thoughts. They're rightly drawn from biblical teaching. And I want to look at some of the statements made in the Bible to support what we're saying here. I want to begin with a general statement from the Old Testament, which states that hypocrites will not be permitted in God's presence in heaven. So Psalm 101 verse 7, let me read that for us. Psalm 101 verse 7. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Psalm 101 verse 7. This text is not confined to hypocrisy because it condemns deceit and lying, but hypocrisy is a form of deceit and telling lies. And those who practice such things, we are told, will not enjoy God's presence. They'll not enjoy God's presence. He will shut them out. He'll shut them out because he doesn't tolerate deceit and lies and, by implication, hypocrisy. But let's turn over to New Testament and look at some statements there, beginning with Romans 2. Let me read verses 1 to 5. Romans 2, verses 1 to 5. And here Paul deals with those who judge and condemn others while they themselves commit the same sins that they condemn in others. Romans 2, verses 1 to 5. Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So God judges those who are hypocrites, who urge others to do one thing, but they do the opposite. God's judgment is against those who practice such hypocrisy, and they will not escape his judgment and condemnation. And such hypocrites are, according to verse 5 here, treasuring up God's wrath for themselves. Treasuring up God's wrath for themselves. Moving back in the New Testament, back to the Gospel of Matthew, we find numerous condemnations of hypocrisy. And let's look firstly at Matthew 15, verses 7 to 9. Matthew 15, verses 7 to 9, where Jesus quotes from the prophecy of Isaiah, and the prophecy condemning the people for their mere outward display of worship. Matthew 15, 7 to 9 says, "Hypocrites," this is the Lord Jesus speaking, "hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men.'" So they worship outwardly, with their mouths and with their lips, but their heart was not engaged in worship. And this is a well-known passage to many of us, to most of us, perhaps all of us. So I'm sure you know the answer to this question. What was the conclusion drawn by the Lord? That their worship is in vain, and he condemns them for it. Well, how many of us here this morning are guilty of this very thing, of appearing to worship God by bowing our heads and closing our eyes during prayer, by singing, even perhaps singing with much gusto, by appearing to listen carefully to the sermon, yet our minds are preoccupied with something else. And our hearts are not set on worshiping the Lord or expressing any affection for him deep down inside. How many of us are guilty of that? How many of us are here merely to show others that we are spiritual and godly? That's a fair question to challenge ourselves. It's a fair question. And if that is us, if that's true of us, then we need to repent right this moment and begin to worship the Lord rightly with all our hearts and minds, not just our outward appearance. Well, to conclude our brief examination of God's perspective of hypocrisy, let me mention Matthew 23 without reading the whole passage, but just some few select verses. Because in Matthew 23, Jesus condemns the scribes and Pharisees for their hypocrisy in very strong terms. He condemns them in very strong terms, calling them out as hypocrites, no less than 7 times between verses 13 and 29. so let me read a few of those verses. Verse 13, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." Verse 14, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation." Verse 15, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Verse 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Verse 25, he also calls them out as hypocrites. Verse 27, verse 29, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. It's quite clear, isn't it? It's quite clear God hates hypocrisy and he condemns sinners for it. And unless they repent, they will suffer his judgment. And if we are hypocrites, we will face his judgment and condemnation. And if our walk with Christ, if our Christian walk consists in nothing but an outward show of religion, our faith is not true, and we are yet in our sins, subject to God's condemnation and wrath. That is what pretense to godliness is. Pretense to godliness is, it is hypocrisy, and God hates it. Now, relating it directly to the topic of godliness, we can say that pretense to godliness is not godliness. Pretense to godliness is not godliness. Let me put that in terms of our description of godliness, which is God-centeredness and God-likeness. Godliness, we've said, is God-centeredness and God-likeness, but pretense to godliness is neither God-centered nor God-like. What is it? Well, it's man-centered. I would argue that pretense to godliness is man-centered, not God-centered. Have a look at some of the statements by Jesus from our Bible reading this morning, from Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and firstly verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Then verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 16, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. All that the hypocrite does is to display his or her godliness to others. It's man-centered. It's man-centered, not God-centered. Likewise, pretense to godliness is not godlike. It's not godlike. And I'm not sure what to call it. I've called it that, sinner-like. Let's say it's sinner-like, displaying the characteristics of sin rather than the characteristics of God. So godlike attributes such as the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, they're to be found in the heart of a godly man, in his inner life, not merely paraded outwardly. Merely parading to possess these attributes outwardly is hypocrisy. It's pretense. It's to make believe that you are something which you are not. Pretense to godliness is not godliness. So godliness, on the one hand, is God-centered and God-like. Pretense to godliness is man-centered and sinner-like. It's hypocrisy, and God does not accept it. He, in fact, hates it. Now, before we leave this first heading, pretense to godliness is hypocrisy, let me make something clear in terms of what hypocrisy is not. Hypocrisy is not the difference between what we are and what we long to be. It's not the difference between what we are, what we long to be. None of us is perfect. None of us is perfect. No Christian this side of heaven has reached sinlessness or will ever do so on this side of heaven. And if we are true believers, we will desire to be more godly, we'll desire to be more devoted to God, more like Christ, more loving, more obedient, more holy. But we'll not reach that before we get to heaven. That doesn't make us hypocrites. That does not make us hypocrites. Rather, hypocrisy, as we've described, is a difference between what you are publicly and what you are privately, or what you are outwardly and what you are inwardly. And it's a failure to practice what you preach. And that's what the Lord condemns and hates. Well, let's watch over our hearts and biblically assess whether we are hypocrites in need of repentance. But let's not be overly concerned that our sinful spots and blemishes, which we all have, let's not be overly concerned that those spots and blemishes will prevent us from being acceptable to God, who receives us on the basis of Christ, on the basis of our genuine faith in Him and the righteousness which He imputes on all who are genuinely born again. Okay, so what does God's word tell us about pretense to godliness? Well, firstly, it tells us that it's hypocrisy. But secondly, pretense to godliness is dangerous. It's dangerous. Now, we read Matthew 23, verse 27 earlier. Actually, didn't read it. I skipped it, but let me just refer to it. And Jesus there refers to the scribes and Pharisees as whitewashed tombs. And it's a saying well known to us. I don't need to read it. He refers to them as whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. That's a description of the hypocrite. Well, there's a similar text in Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26 verses 23 to 26, which says this. Proverbs 26 verses 23 to 26. Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. This text in Proverbs says similar things in some ways as Jesus' statement in Matthew 23:27, that the inward corruption and worthlessness of an object is hidden by a thin layer of paint. There is corruption inside. There is sin. There is a lack of any value, but it's hidden. It's hidden at least for now. What worth do you place on an object, an object that's merely painted over with some valuable thing? So if you took a brick and painted it gold, would it be worth as much as a gold ingot made up, a gold ingot made of virtually pure gold? If you took a simple house brick and painted it with gold, would it be worth the same as a gold ingot? Would it fool a gold merchant into buying it from you for thousands of dollars? Of course it wouldn't. A brick covered in gold paint is worth no more than the brick itself. And a sinner who has a pretense of godliness, but who is unconverted, who is full of deceit, who is full of lies inside, is not a saint, is not a child of God, and he's subject to God's judgment. Pretense to godliness is dangerous. Let's look at this matter in a little more detail by considering the dangers the dangers, various dangers associated with a pretense to godliness. And I have five points here, five dangers, if you like, as given by Thomas Watson in his book, The Godly Man's Picture. So let me go through these. So firstly, pretense to godliness angers God. Pretense to godliness angers God. We've already covered this by showing that God hates hypocrisy, but let's take it a little further by saying that one reason why God is angry is that the hypocrite misuses and abuses true religion for his own ends. The hypocrite misuses and abuses true religion for his own ends. He uses it for some purpose other than to serve the Lord. And in effect, the effect of his hypocrisy is that he serves self or serves sin or serves Satan rather than God. And Judas is a prime example of this. Judas had Judas Iscariot, that is, had an outward veneer of godliness, but he was only a pretender. And at the end of the day, he served Satan, as we're told in John 13. John 13, verse 21, when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "One of you will betray me." That's verse 21. We drop down to verses 26 and 27. That's John 13, for those of you looking it up. John 13, 26 to 27. Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." After he was given the piece of bread, Satan entered him. He served Satan. He served Satan in betraying Christ and bringing him to the cross. Pretense to godliness means we are using religion to serve self, and that is serve self in a sinful way, or to serve sin, or to serve Satan, and that will draw God's anger. If you or I are merely pretending to be godly, if we're putting on a show or a veneer of godliness while our hearts are far from God, then we are misusing and abusing the faith we profess to believe. We are serving self or serving sin or Satan. Perhaps we're doing it to make ourselves look good before others for whatever reason. Perhaps we're trying to promote ourselves for some cause, even in the church. Happens even in the church. And if that's the case, we're in danger of God's wrath being poured out on us, which will eventually happen if we don't repent. Examine your hearts. We need to examine our hearts to see if we are sincerely seeking the Lord or seeking to serve the Lord. If we are sincerely loving him, seeking to obey him in all things, we need to examine ourselves or whether these things are true or whether our faith and godliness is merely outward, hiding a cold and sinful heart of deceit. So pretense to godliness angers God. Another danger associated with pretense to godliness is self-delusion. Pretense to godliness is self-delusional. The hypocrite fools others to think that he is a godly man, that he is full of the Spirit, full of love to God, whom he appears to serve eagerly, but he also fools himself. The hypocrite fools himself because he thinks his outward works demonstrate that he is godly, or even worse, that God will receive him because of his outward works. He fools himself. He's self-deluded. Now, if that's the case, if he's fooling others and fooling himself, who stands to lose most from this situation? Who stands to lose most? Well, it's a hypocrite. It's of hypocrite himself. He himself stands to lose the most because he has deluded himself into believing he's okay when he's not. He stands to lose when he's condemned eternally, while there's really no effect on others, on those whom he fooled. As Watson says, the person who collects counterfeit money harms himself. The person who collects counterfeit money harms himself. He is the one who stands to lose his wealth because he trusts in a worthless currency. He trusts in counterfeit money. What good will it do to you if others are fooled into thinking that you have gone to heaven when in fact your pretense to godliness has sent you to hell? Self-delusion is a serious matter which harms us, which harms the person who is self-deluded far more than it harms others. How do we ensure that we're not deluding ourselves? How do we ensure that we're not self-deluded? Well, we are to examine ourselves, the same point as the last song. We are to examine ourselves, not just our outward deeds, but our thoughts, even our motives in relation to God's word. God's word will expose our sin and show us what we are to do. And Psalm 119 is very helpful here, particularly verses 9 to 11. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I've sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. We often use these verses to encourage ourselves to look to God's word, to hide it in our heart, to memorize it, to understand it, to know it, that it may keep us from immoral sins, particularly. But this is equally true of hypocrisy, of inward sin, of those things that make us make us pretenders to godliness. We need to examine ourselves against God's word, that we may be cleansed, that our sin may be exposed, and that we may be cleansed of it. Okay, the third danger associated with pretense to godliness is that it is offensive to both God and man. It's offensive to both God and man. And by man, we mean unbelievers in general. Even the world despises hypocrisy. Even the world despises hypocrisy. The world is actually quick to recognize hypocrisy in those who profess to be Christians and to condemn them for it. And Watson contrasts the world's view of hypocrisy with God's view of it, saying that unbelievers hate the hypocrite because he makes himself appear godly. He makes himself appear godly, while God hates it because he merely looks godly. There's a contrast between the two. But the hypocrite, the pretender to godliness, can't win because he's despised by all for his pretension. And the danger here is, apart from being condemned to eternal punishment, the danger is that he causes others to turn away from the truth. He causes others to blaspheme God and therefore draws more judgment upon himself. Listen to how Paul rebuked the Jews who caused others to blaspheme God's name by the hypocrisy in Romans 2. Romans 2 verses 17 to 24. So he rebuked the Jews here for causing others to blaspheme God's name by their hypocrisy. Romans 2 from verse 17, indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and prove of things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name, verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Paul rebukes those who preached and who taught one thing but practiced another, and he tells them that God's name is blasphemed because of their hypocrisy. Do unbelievers blaspheme God's name because of our hypocrisy? Because we say one thing and do another. Are we even concerned that God's name is dishonored and that sinners are made to stumble because of our pretension to godliness? Because we have an outward appearance of godliness that is not real, and others see through us. Are we a stumbling block to our own workmates, to our friends, even to our family members? Our family members whom we love and whose eternal happiness we desire. But are we a stumbling block because of our pride, because of our self-righteousness, or dishonesty, or arrogance, or lack of self-control, and so on and so forth? We need to put those things away from us by dealing with that sin in our hearts, so that we do not cause others to stumble. Okay, the fourth danger associated with pretense to godliness is that it's futile, it's pointless. Pretense to godliness is futile. As we previously said, pretense to godliness is man-centered, it's not God-centered. It seeks to gain the praise of men, and once it's done that, it's achieved its purpose. And then what? It may stand you in good stead in this life, but then what? It may gain you a high-ranking position or great wealth in this life, but then what? Let's return to those statements by Jesus in Matthew 6. From this morning's Bible reading to make an important observation. let me just read verses 1-4. Matthew 6 verses 1-4. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. See, Jesus taught that those who practice a mere outward religion receive their reward when others praise them. Verse 2, they have their reward. They have their reward. And he says it again in verses 5 and 6. And again in verses 16-18, they have their reward. What's the point of receiving the praise of others? What's the point of receiving the praise of others if we don't receive God's praise, but in fact we are condemned for our pretension, for our hypocrisy? What value does it bring us? None. Brings us no value. It's pointless. It's futile. Well, are we seeking the praise of others while neglecting to honor God? Well, the fifth and final danger associated with pretense to godliness is that it brings no comfort in death. It brings no comfort in death. the brick that's painted gold that we mentioned earlier is worth no more than a brick. It doesn't become valuable as a gold ingot of pure gold simply because it has a veneer of gold covering. And it's the same with us. And even if you fooled all your workmates and friends and your fellow churchgoers and even your own family throughout your whole life, even if you did that, even if you managed to do that by your hypocrisy, you will not be comforted in death because God will not be fooled, because he sees your heart. He sees our hearts. And he judges accordingly. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, but for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. What good will it do us if others are fooled into thinking that we have gone to heaven when in fact our pretension, our pretense to godliness has sent us to hell? Pretense to godliness brings no comfort in death and is a dangerous thing. Well, what does God's word tell us about pretense to godliness? So firstly, we've seen that pretense to godliness is hypocrisy. Secondly, that it's dangerous. And finally, and quickly, our third heading, pretense to godliness is contrary to true religion. Pretense to godliness is contrary to true religion. The Christian faith is not one of mere outward forms of ritualistic practices and ceremonies. Yes, it does contain those, but they are to be performed as a result of a right heart and standing with God. Nor is a Christian faith a set of rules and laws to be obeyed in an outward fashion. Yes, we are to be obedient to God's word, to be obedient to the Ten Commandments, to all that he commands us, but that obedience must come from the heart. Remember the words of Jesus in such places as Matthew 5, where he says this in verses 27 and 28. Matthew 5, 27, 28. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Obedience and disobedience begin in the heart and then issue out in outward actions. Christianity is a religion of the heart, and your heart must be right with God if you are to be pleasing to him. Performing good deeds, serving others in the church, serving God in the church, without a heart that loves God is futile. It's hypocrisy and it's a pretense to godliness. Being involved in spiritual activities, if they are merely outward, are not acceptable to him. Now, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper shortly, where we'll partake in the bread and cup. We'll eat the bread and drink of the cup. But these are outward forms of obedience, which are pointless and which, in fact, are hypocritical unless we are inwardly and truly saved by God's grace, by God who gives us a heart of belief. Eating and drinking the bread and wine while you are inwardly saved, sorry, while you're not inwardly saved, is hypocrisy. Pretense to godliness is contrary to true religion. But let's end on a positive note, because we don't need to remain in our hypocrisy, in that mere pretension to godliness, because God deals with our sinful and corrupt self, our inward nature. He deals with our deceitful hearts by giving his heart to believe the gospel and to love him and to serve him. He renews our nature such that we no longer serve self or sin or Satan, but serve him in a right manner from a heart motivated by love for him that results in outward obedience. And we won't do this perfectly, not in this life, because we continue to have that remaining sinful nature in us. and we strive against that propensity to sin, and sometimes we succumb to temptation and we fall into sin, but by God's grace we repent from the heart and we turn back to Him to continue to serve Him. And by His grace and mercy in Christ, He receives us and comforts us and helps us because we are His children, and nothing can separate us from His love if we are truly His. Well, if this is a description of you, then be comforted, be encouraged, because He loves you and He will not cast you off as a hypocrite, but He will actually receive you for all eternity. For all eternity, He'll receive you. Though you and I are far less than perfect in this life. But if this is not a description of you, but rather what we said earlier, the hypocrite more accurately depicts you, and perhaps you are one who does many good things outwardly for others, and who perhaps always attends church and is involved in Christian activities and so on and so forth, perhaps that describes you, but your heart is not right with God, and you're not motivated by love for God and His honor. And if that depicts you, if that describes you, then you need to call on Him to save you from your sin. Call on Him to have mercy on you, to forgive your sins through faith in Christ. It is He who will give you a heart of belief in Him, a heart to love Him, a desire to obey and honor Him. So call on Him to do so, and do it this day. Do it this day. Well, our conclusion is that pretense to godliness is not godliness because it's man-centered and does not lead to God-likeness. It is hypocrisy. It is dangerous. It is contrary to true religion. True religion is a religion of the heart. Well, may we turn from mere pretense to live in a truly godly fashion by God's help. Amen.